Blog Talk Radio.
Keeping your business healthy in today's marketplace can be a challenging and overwhelming task. From the threat of litigation inside and outside your organization and the inefficiencies that can rob your bottom line as a result of unproven marketing programs, the deck can be stacked against you. To get ahead of these challenges and stay ahead of your competition, the Bottled Business Sense Show provides practical business solutions that uniquely emphasize key legal principles, management techniques, and marketing strategies to protect and ensure the longevity of your business. You'll learn how to implement marketing and protection principles equal to those used by today's most successful corporations. Join your host, Bill Bernard, Rick Moscoso, and Steve Smith for some high-energy discussion that will inspire you to take control of your business so it can prosper in today's consistently challenging business environment.
Well, good morning, everyone. Today is Tuesday at 10 a.m. This is the Bottled Business Sense Show. We're here every Tuesday, so thank you again for joining us. My name is Rick Moscoso, and I am one of your three co-hosts this morning. Hope everyone's doing well. The Bottled Business Sense Show is brought to you by the three of us, basically, the expertise in our field, and we are providing free information to our followers and visitors and viewers out there in regards to marketing topics, whether it's coaching, business coaching, best practices, video marketing, and of course, any type of legal advice that you need or legal tips that you need in regards to protecting your business. So this is a great service that we love providing for you and talking about these topics. So hopefully you find a lot of value in it. If you would like to go back and look at other episodes that we've provided in the past, this is actually our 89th episode here on the Bottled Business Sense Show. You can go to our website at bottledbusinesssenseshow.com and take a look at our archives, and there's plenty of resources there that you can look up that pertains to you. So with that, I want to introduce my other two co-hosts this morning, Mr. Bill Bernard and Mr. Steve Smith. How are you guys doing today, gentlemen?
Doing great, Rick. Glad to be here again for another great show where we always help our viewers and listeners protect and prosper in their business. How you doing, Steve, over there?
I'm doing good as usual, and ditto to what you said.
Okay. Well, you know, today we're going to talk about a hot button topic that I think a lot of our business owners are concerned about, at least from the input that I receive from prospective clients and from current clients, and that is workers' compensation law in California, how it affects your business, what it entails, how you should address a claim that's made by an employee. Remember a couple of things that when we talk about workers' compensation insurance, we're talking about an employee who's injured on the job. We're not talking about somebody who suffers an injury outside of the employment arena, because that's a whole different ballgame. That involves a lawsuit and any insurance coverage, general liability coverage that might be had by the employer. But today we're going to cover the following topics, and we'll be moving through these, so take good notes if you'd like. We're going to talk generally about coverage, what it is. We're going to talk about what's typically called the independent contractor defense. We're going to talk about how state disability claims is involved in this whole process. Then we're going to move on to civil lawsuits and how you can get yourself involved in a civil lawsuit, unfortunately, if you don't do this correctly. What happens if you're uninsured? What's the state's role in the whole process? What are the reporting guidelines that have to be met in order to make a valid claim by an employee? And what the penalties are if you are not properly insured? So having said that, let's start out with the first topic, subtopic, and then we'll see what my two co-hosts might have in mind in terms of inquiries. Remember, workers' compensation coverage is mandatory in the state of California. I can't emphasize that enough. And the insurance coverage should take place from the minute you open your doors. In fact, before you open a new business, you better have coverage. Before the first employee sits down and does anything at all, you've got to have workers' compensation insurance. The interesting thing about coverage is even before hire, even at the moment of hire, let's say you're giving an employee, a prospective employee, a test to see if that employee can qualify for you to be, for him, him or her to be hired, and that person is injured during the test, that workers' compensation coverage would still click in under most circumstances.
So they don't even have to be a hired employee. They could be a candidate.
That's right, Steve.
In an interview situation, and if something happens that they can somehow connect to their being on your premises or under your supervision, they can still claim workers' comp benefits that your policy has to pay for?
Sure. Let's say you're hiring somebody to drive a forklift and you want to see what experience they have, and you give them a forklift and say, drive it around the warehouse there, I want to see what happens, and he hits something and hurts himself, your workers' comp could very easily click in under those circumstances.
Interesting. Okay.
And if you don't have it, and we'll talk a little bit about this more in detail later, but if you don't have it, you can be held personally liable for whatever damages that's suffered without this insurance, and you may suffer criminal penalties, which we can talk about a little bit later on as well.
So quickly, Bill, so you said here in the state of California it's mandatory. So what if your main office is here in California, but 100% of the business that you do is on the East Coast? Your personnel are on the East Coast, you know what I mean?
It would depend on where your business is governed. If it's set up and established in California, then you better have insurance coverage that would be applicable to anyone who's injured on the job, more specifically in the state where they're working. But that's not to say that a legitimate claim couldn't be made against you if your business is established in California and you're an employee of that California business. If it was me, I'd have coverage in both states, quite frankly. Many times, one of the problems we run into, of course, we hear a lot of employers say this, well, this person wasn't an employee, he was an independent contractor. And therefore, if you're an independent contractor, as we all should know, workers' compensation insurance is not going to provide coverage. But again, I could see very easily in California an administrative law judge holding that this person was an employee. Because they're going to bend over backwards to try to find for the employee. And, of course, the questions they're always going to ask is, do you control the person's hours? Does he work there on the premises? Do you supply the tools or materials that that person is using to perform his or her duties? Is the person hired? Can the person be hired or fired by the business as opposed to have being retained as an independent contractor by way of a special contract that he or she signs. So the workers, the independent contractor defense is not always something that you can rely upon. In fact, most often you're not going to be able to rely on it at all. I would provide the coverage and then let the chips fall where they may.
Hey, Bill, I think there are some litmus tests that a business owner can use that clearly delineate that the person that they're hiring for a particular, a job or a particular project or something is an independent contractor. Number one, does the person do business under a registered name?
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
If they are, Bill Bernard and company and they do some kind of, IT consulting work under that name and you've hired them under that name, I think that's a clear designation that they are in business for themselves.
Yes, but the real point is, Steve, not one factor. In fact, a famous California case has delineated about 8 to 9 to 10 factors that determine whether somebody's an independent contractor or an employee. And one of the things that court emphasized was that one thing, one item out of those 8 or 9 items, one of which you mentioned, will not be controlling. They look at it as a whole. So they're going to want to look at stuff, and then they're going to balance it and say, okay, what's more favorable here? What's heavier here? And if it's even slightly on the side of the employee, most often or not, they're going to hold that the coverage would apply. But that's an interesting point you make. It's a very interesting question, and, of course, one that employers struggle with often. And, in fact, I think Rick will verify this on the show. Many, many months ago, I'm almost sure we did a whole show just on independent contractors and what that entails. So yes. It's good. It's a good reference point in case any of our viewers or listeners want to go back and take a listen. State disability. A lot of times people will try to claim state disability. They're disabled. They get hurt on the job. They bring in a doctor's note. They then say, okay, I got to stay off work for 5-6 weeks, whatever it is. Remember that if you try to work out a settlement for workers' compensation benefits, that will not be enforceable if you're also going to receive state disability. Typically, you're not going to get double coverage. In other words, there are certain circumstances which go beyond the bounds of this show to discuss where you can get both, but most often you're going to get state disability or you're going to get workers' comp. You're not going to get paid both. So be very careful when you try to settle with an employee, Mr. or Mrs. Employee, employer. Be very careful because once you settle, if that person qualifies for state disability, you're not going to be handed back your settlement payment that you've already negotiated with them. So let it play out. Let the person make the claim and let the claims fall where they may. Believe me, the state disability department and the workers' comp department will sort it all out and figure out where the chips are supposed to fall. So that's important to remember. State disability can be a conflict where workers' comp is involved. I wanted to talk a little bit about civil lawsuits because if you lack coverage, an employee can then sue you in state court. So typically when you have workers' compensation claim, you make a workers' compensation claim and you go before an administrative law judge who decides the claim by way of the insurance policy that's in effect. If you don't have workers' comp, you're going to be sued civilly, or you can be sued civilly. And here's the interesting point. If you are sued civilly and you don't have workers' comp insurance and you march in the court, Mr. or Ms. Employer, you are presumed negligent even before the evidence is presented. So it's a very tough row to hoe. Just another example of why you'd be just extremely, well, to use the word, negligent if you don't have workers' comp insurance. And essentially, that's what the court is saying if you're sued civilly, right? You are presumed negligent merely by the fact that you never went out and got workers' comp insurance pursuant to California law. So you're going to have a tough row to hoe in winning that lawsuit. You're going to spend God knows how much money in attorney's fees because you're going to pay that lawyer who's going to defend you. Of course, many times in situations like that, a settlement of some sort is reached. But you're behind the eight ball. The leverage is on the employee's side. So get workers' comp insurance, and you're going to hear that. That's going to be the central theme or premise throughout the show. And so let's now talk about, if we have to, and I guess we do, what happens if you're an uninsured employer. Workers' compensation insurance is not the same as liability insurance, folks. Which liability insurance provides coverage in the event a non-employee is injured. Somebody comes into your shop, they slip and fall, they make a claim against your liability coverage. That's not workers' comp. Somebody has a medical problem and needs to have medical insurance click in. An employee who's insured by your company. That's not workers' comp insurance. There has to be an injury on the job, which then results in medical treatment. So if you're uninsured, don't confuse, a better way to put it would be, don't confuse your requirement to get uninsured by thinking, I'm good to go. I've got medical coverage for my employees and I've got a general liability policy to cover anybody who comes in here and who's injured. And don't believe that because you have an entity like an LLC or a S corporation, which we always preach as being very protective for the business owner. It is. But it is not going to protect you from a workers' comp claim. In fact, I think you might recall I said at the opening of the show that you're going to be held personally liable if you're sued civilly without insurance, without workers' comp insurance, and you're found to be liable. You're going to be held personally liable. So this is a serious situation where, and believe me, I've had clients that have not had coverage. And it's very, very difficult to defend those cases. The way you try to typically defend them is if the employee didn't follow the procedures they're supposed to follow to report these claims correctly, or if you can prove that the employee was really injured somewhere else and not on the job, which does happen quite frequently. That's why it's really important to make sure you get the medical records involved in the claim and evaluate all that. Typically, when you have workers' comp coverage, your insurance carrier is going to make sure that it has all those records to do an investigation properly. So that's important stuff. The state's role. Well, if you don't have workers' compensation coverage, guess who's going to step in and pay the bills for the employee? You can be the state of California through the Uninsured Employers Benefits Trust Fund, or through the workers' compensation, the Subsequent Injuries Benefits Trust Fund. Let me say that one more time, and I'm reading these because they're long-winded names. The Uninsured Employers Benefits Trust Fund or the Subsequent Injuries Benefits Trust Funds cover employees should there be a potential claim without insurance. Now, that means what? That if you're caught in limbo without insurance, you could not only be sued civilly by the injured employee, but you may be liable for having to pay back the state for any benefits that they pay to the employee who's injured in place of your absence of workers' comp insurance. So
who's funding this fund?
Oh, you, me, and Steve. The taxpayers. I mean, you know, that's why the state goes after these people who don't have the wherewithal to go ahead and get the proper coverage. I mean, it's really not that difficult. The only reason you wouldn't do it is by some way of a claim that, hey, this is too much money for me. But, you know, look, you either pay me now or pay me later. I can't tell you how many instances I've had happen where an employee will leave the company and later on make a claim but has never said anything about the claim at the time they were supposedly injured on the job. So now what do you have? Rather than having a coverage where the claim could be denied by your workers' comp carrier, you have someone who can sue you in court where now you're presumed negligent, all because you didn't have coverage, even though you may, from a substantive standpoint, not be negligent at all. This employee didn't suffer an injury on the job, but now you're facing an uphill battle. The penalties are really... I guess I could use the word interesting, but it's better stated that they're devastating, in my opinion. Here they are. You could be prosecuted for a misdemeanor and fined up to $10,000 and be put in jail for 1 year or both. That's what actually could happen. The civil negligence lawsuit can come your way that we already talked about.
I got a question for you.
Sure, Steve.
Tell me when you're going to get to the part about what the benefit is for having a business in the state of California.
The benefit of having a business in the state of California is very simple. If you're doing business here and you don't register in another state, where you may be doing business, you're crazy because you've got all kinds of lawsuit implications if you don't do that. You've got tax implications. Obviously, you're going to have to pay the state tax every year if you're doing business in California. So really what it comes down to, Steve, to answer your question more succinctly, is you just have to follow the rules, and then it's great to do business in California. But we're talking about people who many times don't follow the rules, either because they're ignorant of it or because they think it's too expensive and they put it off and they figure out nothing will happen with my employees. Both of those are critical mistakes. And really what it comes down to is when you look at those two things, Steve and Rick, whose fault is it? Right? It's the employer's fault, right? But by saying, hey, they may come back and complain about what happens to them, but isn't it true that it's the employer's fault by not doing something they knew they had to do? They can't then point their finger to somebody else and say, oh, it's California's fault or it's that damn employee's fault.
No, look, right? I understand that. It's just when I hear all this litany of stuff that employers can step in if they're not paying it or doing this or doing that, you know, sometimes I wonder, you know, at what point are the regulations going to come so smothering that people just opt out of starting a business in California?
Well, I don't think that's happened, Steve. I understand what you're saying. I don't think that should be a deterrent to doing business, because let's face it, the whole idea is to save money in the long run. Wouldn't you rather have insurance coverage for your employees than be worried about the fact that your employees are going to sue you in court whenever they get an injury? It's a lot cheaper, believe me, to have insurance coverage, in my opinion.
No question. I mean, you know, you have to do those kind of basic things. But it still doesn't deter me from the general feeling that when it comes to regulations, California leads the pack on things that they can find to regulate businesses into.
Yeah.
To just make it, I mean, look, I don't think it's any secret that all of these national surveys that come out every year consistently put California at the bottom of the list in terms of business-friendly places to do business.
Well, you know? That's because, as we've said on other shows, this is an employee-oriented state. It's a very liberal state that's geared toward protecting the consumer or the employee.
Right.
And until and if that ever changes, you're right. We're going to have a lot more regulations than typically some other states might have. There's no question about that. Now, I guess you have to look at it like this, Steve. You're a business owner, and you don't have the mindset of someone who's working for someone else. And I applaud you for that. You, Rick, and I are all in that state of mind. But from the standpoint of the employee, and there's thousands and thousands of them in the state, they're probably not excited in some sense about the employer having this coverage, because then they have to go through that regulatory system to get paid. And to settle out and to go to the doctors that the employer wants you to go to instead of your own, right? They're maybe not happy about it from that perspective either, but then again, some of them don't want to go to court, don't want to sue, and they're probably thinking, oh, you know what, the guy's got coverage, I can deal with it.
Right.
But a lot of the red tape does get hung up when you're going through the process, even if you have coverage, because you've got to go through the doctors make recommendations, the insurance company gets involved, and you know what that's like when they're trying to evaluate claims.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I could see it from both ends. But here's the most devastating thing, I think, Steve, to your point. An administrative order can be issued and a court can issue an injunction to close down your business for not having workers' comp insurance. So if there's anything that would behoove you to get it, wouldn't that be it?
Oh, yeah. No, look, you don't want to do anything to put yourself in the crosshairs of our fine regulators in the state of California.
We're getting our political views out here today, folks. I know.
Well,
I know.
It is the debate season. So you know, this is a fine time to wage war on stuff you're not fond of. You know,
it is, and I know as business owners we're not, but we often talk, do we not? And I know, Steve, you're a big proponent of this when it comes to marketing stuff. We have to factor this in as a cost of doing business, right?
Oh yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
And so we're stuck with what we got until it changes. You could be liable for the attorney's fees of someone who has to sue you because you don't have workers' comp insurance. You could have your financial accounts attached in order to make payments to the injured employee. And if they wanted to, if the courts wanted to, they can also assess a 10% extra penalty on top of everything else against the employer. So this is serious stuff, and the reason I wanted to do this show was really to focus in on this portion of it. If you don't think of anything else in this show, all you got to do is remember two things. One, you got to have workers' comp insurance, because if you don't, number two, the penalties are going to kill you.
And you know what, to that point, I think if the best way to help a business owner navigate themselves through this process and make sure that they're not overpaying for their insurance is get a hold of a competent workman's compensation insurance broker, somebody that you know that has access to multiple different companies and policies, and somebody that really understands how to properly code particular jobs and positions within your company, so that you're not ending up overpaying for some particular, you know, position that's been miscoded, and there may be a premium, because every position, depending on their risk of injury, is going to have, you know, a different liability code attached to it.
You're so, absolutely right.
You really need to find somebody that can walk you through this process and make sure that you get the coverage you need, but you're not paying more for it than you have to.
That's exactly right. I couldn't agree with you more. Brokers would definitely be the way to go. No question.
Yeah.
The last thing I wanted to cover on the show was how long do you have to report a work-related injury? Typically, you must give your employer 30 days notice from the date you suffer a disability or from the date of injury. In other words, you may have an injury. You're going to give the employer 30 days notice. You may go to a doctor who says you're disabled. Give your employer notice. The 30 days will start to run, and your employer is now on notice. He typically has about 90 days from that point on to get his insurance company involved and to evaluate the claim. You also have to officially file a workers' compensation claim form, which is called a DWC-1. DWC-1. That form has to be filed in order to validate your claim. So typically, what do people do? They file that form while simultaneously giving their employer notice to start the 30 days running. And the sad part about that, going back to Steve's point, the sad point a part about that is a lawyer may be able to prove that even though you didn't report your injury in a timely fashion, that it did not cause prejudice to the employer and the claim should go through anyway. And there's a number of different ways that can happen. Employee, is really injured, can't communicate very well. By the time he or she gets around to reporting the claim or getting it evaluated, it's beyond the 30 days. Well, he wasn't prejudiced because it was 45 days instead of 30 or 60 days instead of 30, something like that. And there are other creative ways to argue it as well. But the bottom line is you're going to be able to dispute the claim, but you're going to be up on an uphill battle because you're seeing a doctor that is provided by way of the workers' comp policy that the employer has. So these are going to typically be doctors that are what? Going to be leaning a little bit more towards the employer.
Well, you know, and look, Bill, I don't have an issue with people who get injured while working, and it's fairly clear as to what their injuries entail and where they came about. What I tend to find somewhat alarming are the number of injuries that are reported or claims that are made for which there's no visible sign that the person is not able to do their job. And yet, for some reason, they've developed some kind of issue, some kind of mental issue, some other psychological issue or emotionally based thing that prevents them from working for which they're trying to create claims.
Mm-hmm. No, there's no question. And those kind of claims can definitely make your premiums go up. Mm-hmm. But, you know, that all goes back to what we've discussed on the show before, too. You've got to have to try to find quality employees. I know it's not a perfect world. But you need to be able to start from point A, and when you conduct the interview process, when you spell out the rights, when you see the employee working on the job, you have to then carry the ball and make detailed notes. Any conversation that employee has, you need to put it in your drop file. I can't emphasize that enough. The employee comes in and says they had a cut on their finger from a paper cut. Put it in the damn drop file. And say what the employee told you. Why would an employee come in and tell you about a paper cut unless they've got something in mind? You know what I'm saying? There should be red flags that an employer takes care of. So now the employer turns this drop file over to the insurance carrier when the claim's made. Hey, guess what happened on such and such a date? He told me basically everything was fine. I made a notation of it. These are the types of things that the employer bears responsibility for, to carry the ball to fight these kinds of claims, because they're going to make your premiums go sky high and they're going to wreak havoc in the workplace. So I hope this show has been a precursor of sorts to emphasize how when a business is opened, you just don't go out and get yourself a business entity. You just don't go out and get yourself liability insurance. You go out and also get yourself workers' compensation insurance. And now you're covered. You've got the triangle, so to speak, covered. You're protected. You're ready to do business and do battle if necessary down the road.
And, you know, Bill, from a preventative measure standpoint, and I know these people exist, although I can't tell you right here and now what their titles would be or any specific companies that provide this, but I know there are people, kind of workplace consultants out there, and sometimes it may be your own business, you know, your business insurance guy, but there are people out there that can go into a particular workplace and give you an evaluation and tell you based on their own experience where you're vulnerable, where you might want to provide extra training, or where you may want to revamp the flow of your work,
right,
so that you can avoid the kinds of issues that they see in other businesses. And sometimes you're right. Sometimes it's the employee, but a lot of times it's the way the work is distributed or laid out, especially if you're in a retail operation, a manufacturing place, a distribution facility, something like that where you're dealing with heavy items, you're dealing with moving parts, things like that can all contribute to somebody, if they're not paying attention, getting injured. So for anybody that's got a fairly good-sized business and could end up getting workman's comp that could be a fairly substantial, you know, amount of money for them every year, it's probably worth having somebody come in and look at what they're doing and figure out how to get rid of some of the obvious problems that could cause you headache later on.
That and the fact that you want to evaluate the risk of injury, because that might be determinative of how much insurance coverage you want to carry.
Yes.
So all of that thing, the logistics of your business, you're right, should be studied by someone. And then go and pick up the phone, find yourself a lawyer like myself who can take phone calls, will talk to you for free, and tell you what you need when you're starting up your business. If you do those two things, you're on the road to prosperity, I believe. So.
That's cool. Awesome. So I know we've talked a little bit about, we've discussed this a little bit in the past, a number of sections here. So folks, if you have more questions, there's all kinds of resources on the bottlebusinesssenseshow.com website. Go ahead and take a look at past episodes. If there's something pressing, because it can be a very complex issue, obviously, as we've talked about it today, reach out to Bill. You can go to his website. Bill, you can share that information with you, but I would encourage you to call Bill. He's an expert in this area, and like you said, he'd be happy to strike up a conversation just to see how he can help. So, Bill, why don't you share your info with our viewers and listeners out there?
Well, WFBLegalConsulting.com. Email is bill@WFBLegalConsulting.com. Phone number is 949 area code for both. Office number 698-6222, and personal cell phone, which I do take calls on, would be 413-6535. Happy to help in any way I can.
All right. Well, thanks again, Bill and Steve, for the discussion today. This is very great. This, you know, what Bill was talking about is just the tip of the iceberg of some of information out there, and if you need to discuss this further, please reach out to him. He's great. He's always available, usually available, unless he's wearing a shirt like that today. But
I'm always available, and you know, I'm happy to help, whether I'm in shorts or a three-piece suit.
There you go. So, gentlemen, as always, thank you very much for your time today and helping out our viewers and listeners out there. Folks, come join us back again next week here on the Bottle Business Sense Show at 10 a.m. With that, on behalf of my other co-hosts, have a great week, have a prosperous week, and we'll see you again on the next episode.
Take care, everybody.
Take care, guys. Bye-bye.